Thank you for asking me to speak tonight, or someone did. I don't know if they're here. I'm a compulsive overeater. My name is Layla. God, there's like so much that I want to share about it. It's like this disease literally pretty much touches every part of my life, and pretty much as early as I can remember. On the way here, there was this dessert restaurant that I saw. And, you know, for a moment there was that like, oh, maybe I shouldn't name food names, so I won't, but like certain things that, you know, I really enjoyed. But then I just thought like one was never enough. Like it was like this constant feeling of like almost being satisfied, or like feeling really high off of this thing that I was eating, but just knowing that there was never going to be enough of it, or it was so soon going to end and I couldn't continue. In my family, appearance was an obsession, is still, and in every way, including, you know, how you look physically. And even since the age of 7, I was thinking about dieting and thinking that I looked wrong and all this stuff. Always felt like in the future there was going to be a time when I would have to like cut down on my eating and eat healthily and maybe not eat sugar and not eat so much. And that thought was like horrifying. Like that was like, it was always like this like doom in the future that I like knew was coming. But like being a kid, I was pretty much able to eat whatever I wanted. And so it was like, I really enjoyed it as a kid, and it was just always this sort of future pain. So it wasn't that much pain around it when I was growing up, apart from that fear. But then when I like hit puberty, and then it was like, oh shit, this is like the time when I have to care now and like have to not, you know, and it was really hard. And and also around that time, I think I became depressed. And actually, this is kind of the first time when I'm sort of maybe correlating the two. I don't know. I mean, but certainly also body image was a really big part of the depression. I went to the school where like all these girls were, I thought they were thinner than me and all this stuff. And I felt so like uncool and like, but I always thought like maybe in the future, like things will get better or whatever. Like I'll grow into myself or whatever. And anyway. And then really sort of binging while I was at school and after school, I joined recovery, in high school for another program. And you know, with that, my eating, got sort of better. Like honestly, I was just smoking a lot and kind of not really caring about my weight. Like, again, I think the smoking helped my metabolism or something. And it was something to just fix on. And also I missed out before that as well. I had like a kind of phase where I would make myself sick. And it was only a short phase. And well, I mean, I say a phase, I'm sure it could definitely come back again, particularly now. I imagine if I were to have a relapse, that could really come back in a big way. But fortunately at that time it was only a couple of weeks, because my sisters just knew like right away what was going on and were calling me out for it. And also I was always sort of like an oversharer, or like I would not share what was really going on for me in the important stuff. That I would completely stuff down and probably deny even to myself that I was feeling. Like, I had no idea how I was feeling. But, you know, stuff that was way too much information for other people to know about myself or people around me or gossiping or whatever, that was something I did a lot then. And I just knew I couldn't be vomiting a lot without just telling everyone, you know? It was just, I don't know, I just, fortunately, And maybe I also thought bulimia just wouldn't work because of some things my sister told me. I was like, well, what's the point? It doesn't even work and I'll just be embarrassed. So I'm not going to do that, you know, thank God. But anyway, but I would be bulimic in that I would binge and then I would skip the next meal or like, you know, just some other ways. And anyway, and there was a little bit of laxative occasionally as well. And, but primarily it was when I stopped smoking around 18 that suddenly the food became out of control. And it was like my previous addiction had been that it was like it was all I thought about. And I knew that that was not normal. Oh, thanks. Oh, it's 10. Oh, 10 left. Okay. I was thinking it's been 10 minutes. Oh, my God. But anyway, okay, 10 left. Thank you. Yeah, it was totally out of control. I was starting this foundation year that I didn't finish. And again, maybe there is a correlation that before I didn't really think about. But I thought if the people around me could see how much I'm thinking about food, they would know I was completely insane. It was always like, for lunch, I'm going to have this and I really want to eat the whole thing, but it's huge. So I'm going to try to not have it. And, or maybe I will and just, you know, hope I don't gain weight. Like, it was just all of this, how can I eat the most without gaining weight and all this stuff. And it was just like it took all of me to every single day. And it was nothing like I'd experienced before. And it really showed me how this disease is progressive. And so I had a friend in recovery in this program, and I said to her, like, I think I might have a problem. And she was really great. And I remember I was sitting at the restaurant sort of like with my arms crossed across my stomach. And again, since I was 7, I've always been like, I have this pot belly and I have this obsession with like my stomach is too big and all this stuff. And she said, like, look at the way you're sitting and like, look at everyone else around you. Like, no one else is sitting that way. Like, and she sort of pointed out that for some people with an eating disorder, that's like a typical kind of thing that we do. And I don't know, she just, and I don't know if that is for that many people, but for me it was. And we, you know, just me and her connected on a bunch of things about this program, I mean, about this disease. And and talking to her, she was clearly so happy and healthy and was doing so much better. And I went to my first OA meeting really actually hugely excited because I thought, oh, finally I'll be able to like lose weight and look good. And I was actually a healthy weight, maybe even slightly on the underside. Like I kind of, I'll basically summarize. Coming into OA, I thought I had got, once I actually started the food plan and really kind of beginning the program, I felt like I had the worst of both worlds where I actually gained weight because I was actually eating what for me I thought was way too much food, but was actually what was healthy and actually gave me enough energy in the day. But I was bigger than I'd been since I was maybe 12 or something. When I was actually quite a bit bigger when I was 12. And I gave up sugar, which was like my, you know, it was like a nightmare. Those first 2 weeks were just a massive nightmare. I kept having the experience that I was just like, it was like I'd go throughout the day and I'd almost have this experience where I was like waking up to my reality of like, oh my God, I might not be able to have sugar ever again. It was just like this constant, it was like traumatic. And thinking about things like, oh, my grandmother's recipe that like I'll never be able to try again or whatever and all this stuff that frankly, now getting over the initial just physical addiction of sugar withdrawal, like it's stuff I don't care. Like now it's like been such a freedom. And then so after that, it was such a freedom. And And so this was almost 6 or 7 years ago. I'm bad at math. That I came to to OA. And yeah, I tried a bunch of different, you know, there was this period of surrender initially at the beginning with my sponsor, and things were going much, at least much better than they were. I've lost my train of thought. Sorry. which always happens when I share. There's always a point in my share where I'm like, what was I just talking about? I just feel like there's too much of my story to cram into. But basically, I really had to come to a point again. Oh, yeah. So I was trying to use OA as like a diet, you know, and I would, and then there were periods of time where I wasn't coming to meetings. Turned out my anorexia got a lot worse, and it got worse in a way that I never experienced before. And that is when I started a new food plan. And I was living in Tokyo, which if you can be abstinent there, you can be abstinent anywhere. And I began working this food plan that was really difficult to work because it's an American food plan, and Japan is an incredibly different diet. And this food plan called for like a lot of vegetables. And in Japan, that's very difficult to find, and just a whole bunch of things that was like, it was so difficult. But for the remainder of the time when I was working food plan and living there for over 2 years, you know, I managed to do it because it was like, this is so much better. Any inconvenience during my day that I might have is still so much better than the pain of feeling so out of control with the food. Or, but also, so, and this food plan has really helped me, but, and I'm noticing I've just talked a lot about the disease and the food plan. And, you know, one of the things my sponsor has been trying to help me see more recently, but more recently, finally been listening to her, is like, it's about the program and the steps. And today I was making an amends, which I had to travel kind of not so much all over London, but I had to go to 3 different buildings in different places in London trying to like find the right people to see. And because it's an institution I'm making an amends to, so it wasn't very simple. It wasn't just like I go see someone for coffee. And yeah, but it's just that willingness of like, I know that I need to do this to be well, and to have peace of mind. And yeah, there's been a lot of stuff that wouldn't be my plan to do it's like I'm now coming to see that my ideas and my plans aren't worth nothing, and there are a lot of things in my life that, and a lot of needs that I have as a person that I need to acknowledge and you know, enjoy life. But there's also been just what I've been experiencing this last, not quite 3 years of abstinence, but, you know, that like there's a lot of stuff that I don't want to do that I need to do for my recovery. And just having that total willingness to be honest and not hold anything back and just be willing to do anything. I just really needed to have that willingness. And now I'm really grateful for it. And the very things that were the things I least wanted to do have been some of the things that have made me grow the most in recovery. I finally have a full-time job for the first time in my life, and I'm trying to move towards being self-supporting, which is scary, but that's again something that's come out of my step work. And just things that have come out of this program that's like helping me to be a better person and live a better life, really. And that helps me to not want to use food, and you know, looking for my part in things really helps me to have peace with things that happen. And that's such a gift. I never want to look at my part, partly out of just laziness. I'm so lazy. But every time I do it, it's much, you know, I get relief and I see that I don't have to pick up food because feelings pass and life gets better. And there's usually something positive that I can do or think about or be grateful about or turn to. That's all I have to share, or that's all I, but anyway, thanks.
Thank you, Layla.